Okay, welcome back to another episode of Killer Minute. I am joined today by Killer Frogs, Killer Minute writer, reporter, contributor, Tori Couch. Tori, welcome back to Killer Minute.
Thank you so much for having me, Davis. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we got a lot going on. TCU, well, it's March, so basketball season is really getting going. Both TCU women's team and men's team have tournaments, upcoming tournaments, and we can talk about both of those. I wanted to start, if it's okay with you, I wanted to start with the women's side and talk sure. about, they play Kansas on, I believe, Thursday. So that is the 10-7 matchup in that tournament. And if you want to just tell us a little bit about the TCU women's team and how their season's gone and I don't know, kind of what to expect.
Yeah, definitely. So yes, the women will play Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. The Big 12 Conference tournament in Kansas City. And it's been a tough season for the women's basketball team. They finished 1-17 in the Big 12, 7-22 overall. It was interesting watching his team because they had moments where they looked really good. They looked like, oh, they're turning in the right direction. They can grow off of this, things like that. And they just never seemed to quite be able to put it all together and pull off consecutive wins in conference or things like that. You know, they're going to get Kansas, who they finished the regular season against. So get a repeat team here. And they lost 84-61 on Saturday. So it doesn't sound like it was close, you know, kind of a blowout game. And that's true for the second half. That first half, they played really well. They were down by 6 at halftime. You know, they were taking good shots. They weren't letting Kansas kind of just get loose. But that third quarter is when things kind of fell apart. Kansas shot 69% of the field. They won the rebounding battle 12-4. And TCU just kind of got lost on defense a little bit. They were fouling at the rim, giving up easy layups, easy shots. And so that's when things kind of started to fall apart in that game. So it's always hard when it's especially a back-to-back rematch against a team to know exactly what to expect. Whenever their season ends, that will be the last game for head coach Reagan Peekley. And she has been such an instrumental part of this program and this community for the last 9 years. And these girls, you can tell, love her. She loves them. There's a real community in that program. And so I expect them to come out and play really hard for her. You know, and if they can play like they did in that first half, I think they have a chance to maybe win a game, at least get to the quarterfinals. But it's going to be really tough because they've just been inconsistent and they've had a half or a quarter where they just don't play well. And that's kind of what ends up costing them the game.
Right. So one thing TCU has in its favor is it is tough to beat any team twice in a row. That's hard to do. Kansas will be looking to do that. So who are some players you look for in Thursday's game to, if TCU wants to beat Kansas, if they want to pull off an upset, who are some players you're looking for to lead that charge?
Absolutely. I think it's been really the two that have been their leading scorers all season. That's Tomi Taiwo at guard and forward Lucy Ibe. Taiwo is, she's fearless. She can hit that pull up three, no problem, or she'll take it in, drive in, either dump it off for an assist or go tack the rim. And then Lucy Ibe, she kind of trades with Taiwo being the leading scorer. And Ibe's got a good range to what she can do. She can hit some 15 footers if she needs to, but she can also take you on down low. She has a wide array of post moves and then is very aggressive and is going to battle for rebounds and just battle down low. And so I think those are the two that you're going to expect Kansas to kind of key on. And so then looking, oh, someone needs to step up. Emily Fisher has been very solid at the point guard position. She doesn't score a lot. That's not her forte, but she's going to create opportunities for other people, driving the lane, finding shooters. So I think she could kind of help create a few more opportunities for people as well. So that's kind of where I see TCU maybe getting their scoring from and some of their offensive productivity against Kansas.
So you mentioned Coach Peavely, and I know that, you know, she's beloved in Fort Worth. Her players love her, fans love her, but was this, we don't have to talk too much about this, but just in your opinion, is this a move that TCU needed to make at this point, or was maintaining her for another year the right call in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's tough anytime you've had a coach who's been there for as long as she has. Like you said, she's just been so ingrained in this community that people just know who she is. And she is so genuine as a person and as a coach. But when you've had, like, she has three seasons in a row that have just not been what she want in conference play, and you're not winning, I think you kind of have to make that call, as hard as it is. Conference win, maybe two. You know, so that's just not going to work in this day and age of college athletics. It's about the wins. And so I think it was the right call, but it doesn't make it any easier, knowing how important she is. And I think in some ways will continue to be to this community, because she planted roots here in some ways. And so I don't, it's just hard for it to end this way.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like another coaching, I guess, parting ways with a coach TCU's had to do recently, Coach Patterson. And obviously that turned out okay for TCU. So, regardless of, despite her being beloved and appreciated in Fort Worth, probably was the right move, just because sometimes it's time to move on. So now we can look at the men's side. This is a team that had a much different season than the women's team. It, in a lot of ways, was really successful. They were missing Mike Miles for a period of time, and that hurt them. But when that team is healthy, that is, I still think that's one of the best teams in the Big 12. They have Kansas State. They have Kansas State coming up. What are your thoughts on, I guess, the ceiling of this team in this Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. I thought about it, just kind of, yeah, what do I think this team can do? And honestly, if they lose it Thursday night in the quarterfinals, I won't be shocked. If they win the tournament, I won't be shocked. They have such a ceiling. You know, you kind of looking ahead just a little bit, but you talk about NCAA tournament and they're projected 5 seed by Joe Lenardi, and, you know, where could they go in the tournament? And I kind of have the same thing. I'm like, well, they get the right draw, they could go really deep in that tournament too. So I think for me, it's what team do we get against Kansas State? Because like you mentioned, Miles' injury being out, that I think went 1-5 in games without Miles. Mm-hmm. You know, that hurt. Then even with him back, they've been inconsistent. Score 100 points against Oklahoma State when he's back. You have that energy. You almost set a shooting percentage record for the conference, and they come out so flat on offense against Kansas. Mm-hmm. And then you outlast those comeback attempts by Texas Tech and Kansas, which TCU probably shouldn't have been in that tight of game at the end. They gave both teams some opportunities, but it's the Big 12. Nobody's really going to just fall away. And you just don't really show up at Oklahoma. And so that's what puzzles me about this team, is they are wildly inconsistent, but when they're on, they are on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they get Kansas State in the 3-6 matchup, and I believe that game is on. Oh, it's also Thursday. Oh, you mentioned that. It's Thursday as well. So busy day. But they've seen Kansas State twice this season. The first time they won 82-68, shot the ball very well. That was with Mike Miles, and it really looked like they were the better team. And then you get them again. Mm-hmm. This time you're on the road in Manhattan, always a tough place to play, but you're also without Mike Miles, and they lose 82-61. So two really different stories in the two games, but one of the games you're without Mike, one of the games you're with Mike. And so basically, I think, just in this matchup alone, looking at Kansas State with this team, I believe it's at full strength. What are you looking for in this game? How does TCU beat Kansas State?
Yeah, looking at that first matchup where TCU did win, Mike Miles was playing and TCU was kind of at the full strength. The things that really stood out to me was, number one, Emmanuel Miller just went off. He had 23 points. I think he was close to 10 rebounds. Like, he just dominated down low, and he was just that presence that they needed. TCU scoring 54 points in the paint. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. If you can control the paint, if you can out-rebound them, that's a huge turning point. And then on top of that, they had 32 fast break points. And it's been well documented that TCU is the highest scoring fast break team in the country. And when they can't get that going, they struggle. Because in the loss against Kansas State, they only had 10 fast break points. And they never really quite got things rolling. Now, granted, Miles was out, but still, they still have a little bit of that identity even without him. And so I think, to me, one of the big keys is going to be forcing turnovers and having those opportunities to get down the court, speed up the game a little bit, and get those scoring opportunities in the fast break. And then along with taking control of the paint, letting Emmanuel Miller kind of do what he can. It's going to be hard. Keontae Johnson, for Kansas State, he's a fantastic forward. He's going to get his points. He's going to get his boards. But I think winning that battle, it's going to be really big too.
Mm-hmm. Just going off on fast break, in the really puzzling loss at Oklahoma, they only had 5 fast break points. So that's obviously something they're going to want to improve on. A big way of doing that is rebounding. You get the rebound, you get in transition. I appreciate that you mentioned Emmanuel Miller, because I wanted to talk about him. I think we all know that this is Mike's team. Like, he's the leader of this team. He's the guy. But when you have guys like Damian Baugh and Emmanuel Miller, I think we will need to see those two in particular step up. And like you said, Emmanuel had a great game the first time these two teams played. So definitely, it's out there. Damian Baugh has been really good recently, specifically passing the ball. So I think Mike Miles, like you said about Johnson, he's going to get his. I think it's going to come down to who else can do what. And I think that's kind of been the story lately, because they were without Mike. And I think that going forward, that's going to be a good thing that they did have to spend time with that Mike, because other guys were forced to kind of step up. So hopefully that translates. So let's just say they play well against Kansas State. Then they have the winner of Texas and whoever wins OSU, Oklahoma. And we don't have to talk that much in the future, but I do want to know what you think just about this Big 12, this historic Big 12 conference. Who do you think is, or you can give me a couple teams, but who is your favorite to win this tournament?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because like you said, and you keep hearing people talk about this might be the best conference in the country and the best big that the Big 12 has ever been and all these things. It's because on any given night, anybody can beat anybody. TCU has beaten everybody in this conference except for Iowa State. The second time they played Iowa State was without Miles, but still, TCU can beat anybody in this conference. And I think on any given night, almost any team in this conference can say that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my favorite is Kansas, just because I think they've been playing the best as of late, and they have really grown as a team. Their bench has gotten a lot deeper. You see Coach Bill Self starting to trust some of those guys on the bench a little bit more, letting them play more minutes, more important minutes. So I do like how Kansas has been playing. And then after that, I mean, I think TCU could potentially be a favorite, but again, are they consistent? What TCU are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that play against Oklahoma on Saturday and was down 15 within a couple minutes? or are we going to get the one that played against Texas earlier in the week that just came out on fire, got themselves a big lead, and did what they had to do to hold on and make some stops at the end of the game? You know, and so I think Texas too, though, is another one that they're starting to kind of figure out what they can do. They beat Kansas there to close out the regular season, which is not an easy task. Mm-hmm. So I think Texas is another one too that you could look at. It's kind of a favorite. So, and even Baylor's starting to play a lot better than they were. They've had some ups and downs. So I really think anyone in the top half of the conference, probably the 1-6 seeds, would be the ones that I'd say have the highest percent chance to win. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick an ultimate favorite, it'd probably be Kansas, just because, you know, Bill Self just knows how to get his team playing at the right, you know, in the right way at the right time and at peak right when they need to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I really think it's pretty open compared to past years.
I think if I have to take one team, I'm probably taking Kansas as well, because like you said, they've been playing really well lately. And one thing about them is they had their struggles earlier in the Big 12 season, but they've been pretty consistent since then. You kind of know who they are. And teams like TCU, Texas, and Baylor, actually all of these teams have had ups and downs. You know, when Baylor's really good, they're maybe the best team in the conference, but you don't know what Baylor team you're going to get. Same with Texas. Like that's a really good team, just tons of talent on that team. But you know, are they going to play well? Like it's really interesting, because if one of these teams decides that they're going to put together three or four really good games in a row, they can win. But I do agree that Kansas has been the most consistent, and you kind of know who Kansas is. Bill Self obviously is you know, he's the best coach in the country probably. So a huge advantage there. I'm probably taking Kansas as well, but I think it's going to be a really fun tournament just because of how wide open it is.
Yeah.
So one more thing, if TCU plays just perfect and they win the Big 12, why, like what was it that allowed them to do that? What parts of their game, maybe who is it, but why do they win the Big 12 if they do?
Yeah, I think a big thing is they get that fast break going. Like you mentioned, against Oklahoma, they didn't really get any fast break points. So I think you get that going. So when they do that, you see them get in a rhythm. You see them more engaged. You see them plugged in. You just see a difference on the court. So I think that's going to be a big key. You know, having Miles back, that's huge. You know, he's going to score, but he's also going to draw defenders. And so I think it's going to be who else can step up. We mentioned Damian Baugh earlier and Emmanuel Miller, but I think one person that stood out to me in particular, especially when Miles was out, was Jacoby Coles. Mm-hmm. He has really evolved into a leader, and took advantage of those opportunities when they needed to score, they need someone to step up and hit a big shot. And he's not scoring as much now as he was when Miles was out. And that makes sense, but he's still, when those opportunities are rising, he's hitting the shots. He's not taking bad shots. He's on defense. He's in position. He's right where he needs to be. So I think it's going to be, can someone like a Jacoby Coles or a Shahada Wells, maybe not necessarily lead the team in scoring, but have a big game where they do enough little things that kind of just add up to helping them get over that hump. Mm-hmm. So I'd be looking for someone to kind of sneakily have a big game, then that fast break piece mm-hmm. get rolling, and then they just got to play defense. Right. Every team in this conference can score, so you got to get your stops, and when you get them, take advantage of them. Don't, you know, get three stops in a row and come away with no points. Get those stops, you know, either close a gap or go on a little run to take a lead, and so taking advantage of those opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd look for Jacoby Coles, like you mentioned. He's been awesome. He had 8 points against Texas. I'm looking at this Texas game right now, and this is a game Mike Miles really wasn't very good at all. He had 1 point, and they still beat a top 10 team in the country. I think that's kind of what at least I'm looking for in this tournament is, you know, Damian Baud, 24 points and 9 assists. Emmanuel Miller had 20 points. Jacoby Coles had 8 points. I'm just looking for Micah Peavy, another guy like that. I'm just looking for those guys to play good basketball, you know, rebound the ball. I think Eddie Lampkin, we haven't heard as much about him this season just because I don't think he's been healthy, but last March is kind of when he stormed onto the scene. You know, can he kind of return to his full mm-hmm. strength and be a consistent rebounder for this team? All those things are things I will be looking for in this tournament. And then obviously I think TCU's locked into the tournament, the March Madness tournament. Do you have, I guess like a ceiling you see this team in the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's a really good question. I last year they got to, was that a round of 32? Hmm. Kind of on a team that wasn't, I don't feel as well-rounded as this one. Hmm. You know, it's not like we've alluded to, there's a lot of guys on this team that can take over a game if they have to, if Mike Miles is held at one point, those types of things. And that wasn't as common on last year's team. And so I think this team could get to a Sweet 16, maybe make a little run to that second weekend of the tournament. But I could see them going out in the first round. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it's more the Sweet 16 run because they've found that consistency. They're relying on those things that work for them. And I think it's also going to depend on their seed. Mm-hmm. Right now they're a projected 5 seed, which that can be a dangerous spot. 12 over 5 is a, you know, you really, almost always get one of those a tournament. Yeah. Yep. You know, you're going to get either a hot group of 5 team or maybe a power 5 team who just, if you catch them on the wrong day, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to depend on that draw, which is why I think this Big 12 tournament, it's not going to, if they win a game, it's not going to hurt them. But I think if they don't play well in the Big 12 tournament and some other teams across the country and maybe even in the Big 12 play well, that could drop them down a line or two. Just because you got to see who's peaking at the right time. You know, and their seed may not change, but I think a poor performance in the Big 12 conference tournament combined with other teams playing well, that there's that possibility you could drop down and maybe get an even tougher matchup than what you had originally. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping Sweet 16, but we'll see.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I think we've talked about it already a ton on this podcast, but there's two TCU teams and it's going to depend on which one we see. That'll kind of determine where they end up in the March Madness tournament. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This was a great chat. This is my favorite time of the year. I love March Madness, and hopefully we can get, hopefully both of these TCU teams can make a run in this Big 12 tournament, and hopefully the men's team can make a run in the March Madness tournament.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm glad you had me on. I enjoyed this, and I do want to let listeners know that I will be in Kansas City awesome. Later this week. So yeah, be on the lookout on the killerfrogs.com website for post-game videos, stories, things like that. Unfortunately, the men and women play basically at the same time on Thursday. So not sure how that's going to work exactly. The women are at 7:30, the men are at 8:30. So going to do my best to be two places at once, but yeah. Excited to be down there. And yeah, like you said, hopefully both teams can make a little run and, you know, just keep the season rolling.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You'll be there. That'll be fun. And yes, Killer Frogs will have all coverage, all sorts of coverage. I'll do another pod next week, recapping everything. And Tori will be on site with all the on-site coverage. We'll have all sorts of coverage, so you won't miss it. Tori, thank you so much once again. This was fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed it.